Welcome to the Golden Valley Bowl Show. This is part of the Super Saturday Sports Show that you can listen to as to keep up to date with all things happening around the rinks in the Golden Valley League. This show airs on a weekly basis on a Saturday morning throughout summer and is hosted by Golden Valley Bowls expert Brian Nisbet on 1FM Shepparton Radio.
As we are in the GV Bowl Show, and I've got Brian Nisbet in the chair for the postseason show, the grand final show. Brian, what a great job you did last week on the stream. It's been very well received. Yourself, Ash Williamson and Tyler Maher from the Shepparton News. And, of course, we had our very own Murray Bowls expert, Ray Noy, chipping in, talking all things Shepparton Bowls as well. It was a great, great day, Brian.
Yeah, good morning, Stats. Good morning, listeners. Yeah, I managed to get hold of Ray, who come down and watch the game. Ray Noy does a fantastic job, as we all know, for the Murray Bowls area. And also we managed to got hold of Shane Walsh, who's one of Shep Park's key bowlers, and he's the greenkeeper. He's had first year on the job at Shep Park. He did a great job at Stanhope on their greens when he's down there. With other players' assistance as well, and he's a full-time curator at Shep Park, and he had the greens in a magnificent condition for the final, and his comments were well received. Plus, we had the coach of East Shepparton, Brent Reiner, and Stats, I had a trouble getting them out of the chair. They wanted to hang in there.
I had a look at the coverage for a couple of hours here at the studios via the computer. And, gee, the pictures look good. The sound was amazing. And you boys done a brilliant job. Your insightfulness into lawn bowls. Now, I must admit, I'm not really a aficionado, if you can say that, of lawn bowls. But I found your insights fascinating.
Well, thanks, Stats. Appreciate that. I've got to thank Adam Watkins, who did a great job for 1FM. I forgot to thank him after the game, and I apologise for that, Adam, but you did a fantastic job. Kept telling me to shift me little microphone around on me headset. Must have too big a head, Stats, and it wouldn't move properly. I mucked it up a few times, but Adam was there to reverse the situation. And also, we've got to thank Haig Lindsay, who did all the TV coverage. Did a great job, mm-hmm. Fantastic, and his cameraman. I thought he did a better job than the Melbourne Premier League cameraman, and they have a live stream each Saturday, and they'll have one on again tomorrow for the grand final of the Premier League bowls in Melbourne.
But yeah, the pictures looked amazing.
Real professional, yep. Job. Yeah, so I'm going to have Alan Rogers on later. He wants to thank a few people. He, like me, a bit remiss when he made the presentation. So he'll be on at just after the first break in the program when we have a sponsors break. But getting back, I'd just like to reiterate what you said about the great man Buddy Franklin last night. I'm a passionate Sydney Swans, old South Melbourne supporter, and I've been privileged to see Tony Lockett, who I didn't like before he went to Sydney, became my favourite player, and now Franklin, I love full forwards who can kick goals.
And Isaac Heaney kicks five and no one wants to know about it.
No, that's right, but I think we were privileged, but I've never seen scenes like that at any sporting function in Australia, let alone the world, probably.
So can I ask you, were you an old South Melbourne supporter?
Old South Melbourne?
Yeah, okay. Lakeside?
I started barracking for the Swans in 59 when Bobby Skilton won the Brownlow.
That's won three of them. Yeah.
First Brownlow medal I ever listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Shows you how old I am. 8-year-old, turned the radio.
They used to have it at Festival Hall, didn't they, the Brownlow?
They did.
Back in the day. And apparently you got a phone call at 10 o'clock on a Monday evening saying you better get down here, you've won the Brownlow.
Yeah, he was working or something. Yeah, he didn't attend.
He was a plumber, was that correct?
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, I think something like that anyway.
Yeah, it's all changed since then.
Yeah, yeah. And someone said, well, you better get Danny. He just won the Brownlow medal.
Yeah, well,
you imagine that today. Gil McLaughlin winging someone up and saying, look, you better get down here to, you know.
No, it's just fantastic. And he's just shows how popular he is in Sydney.
Oh.
The crowd.
Well, I thought it was great that Clarko was there too.
Yeah, I remember when Tony Lockett kicked his 1300, Paul Kelly passed it to him, and I reckon only a quarter of the people were out in the ground, if that, compared. They reckon there were more people out on the ground than was in the stands.
Yeah, you know what I think? It's because of the last couple of years with COVID and everything.
Oh, for sure.
And people are just looking for that release. But I thought, Brian, it was so good. I mean, we're getting off topic a little bit. We'll get back to the bowls in a minute. But I thought it was just great how the Sydney people handled it.
Oh, yeah.
Without incident. And only in Australia could you do that on a sporting field.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, it was fantastic. Old buddy was pretty hemmed in there, but there was no one. He never got affected physically or anything, or no one else got injured that we know of, which is great.
And just getting back to the bowls, GB bowls, how big of an upset was it, Tally Groupner defeating Shep Golf?
Oh, big upset. They were on the verge, but they still had to do it on the big stage. And I picked Shep Golf the year before I picked Tally, so I gave Golf the kiss of death, as they say.
So how many titles had Golf won in a row heading into last week? Six.
Yeah. I believe Kai Abram won six in a row.
Mm-hmm.
in the early 90s, about that period. Early 90s, yeah. On the Woodside, I meant to have a look back, but according to Ashley Williamson, they've won six in a row, so it would have been a record, but it's still equals a record, and it probably won't be a record to be surpassed.
And I believe it's Tally Groupner's first major title for a couple of decades. Is that correct, Brian?
I don't think they've ever won a Division One.
Okay, yep.
They're in the Murray. I don't know when they started. I haven't got all the history of the club, but this is their first premiership in the top division, and they actually won Division 3 and Division 5, so they've got to have a one.
Yeah, they had a great day.
Oh, man, unbelievable. I didn't pick him in any division stats. What's that tell you? Anyway, I'll move on with the reviews. Division 6 South, Alex won. They had two sides in this division. Reversed the quarter-final result with a comfortable 17-shot victory over Eildon. Get rid of this phone stats. They always ring at the wrong time.
Yeah, fantastic. The wonders of live radio.
Oh, live radio, yep. They usually leave me alone when I do the show. With a comfortable 17-shot victory, this is Alex one over Eildon, one at Euroa. Three rings to nil. Bob Bagami, 23-17 for Alex one over Sharon Hall. Ken Argent, 27-23 over Ivan Sutcliffe, and Greg Gilmore, 29-22 over Stephen Hall. Bob Bagami lost one match for the year in midweek and Saturday pennant combined, which is a pretty good effort. Alex won earned promotion to Division 5 next season, most probably. When I say that, there's two Division 6s, so I'll presume the two bottom sides in Division 5 will be relegated, but it could be something to do with could have a bearing the geographical location of the clubs as well. So that'll give Alex one. And in Division 6 North, Colbo triumphed over Kai Abram, also reversing the qualifying final result by an impressive 26 shots, 83-57 in a whitewash, three rings to nil. Shayla Watts for Colbo defeated Jan McFadgen, 24-21. Shane Ryan at Colbo defeated Murray Boswood, 31-18. And Robert McLean inflicted Brad McIntosh at Kai Abram's first loss for the season, 28-18. Colbo also promoted to Division 5 next season, you would expect. In Division 5, Tally Groupner defeated last season's premiers Maroopna Golf, 97-85, three rings to one. Gary Murphy, 28, defeated Jason McConkie, 28-19. Barry Rutherford defeated Brenda Broughton, 29-11. And Ron Jones, 33, defeated John McDonald, 17. Lee Wakenshaw from the bowl shop and his wife and his mother and father-in-law defeated Bill Connolly, 38-7, in a losing side. A great effort, considering they went down. Lee's rink must be disappointed after such a brilliant display. But it's across the four rinks that you got to win. Division 4, Nagambie became the third team to reverse their quarterfinal loss to vanquish Seymour VRI, the favourites, by five shots in a titanic battle at Euroa, 89-84. Two rinks each. Rob Page defeated Joe Purcell, 29-18. Rob Smith, 20, defeated Michael Szczukowski. I can't say his name. So I always get it mucked up. Michael Szczukowski, 28-18.
Not Sierakowski, is that? No.
Szczukowski, 28-18. I got it out finally. Greg Jones, VRI, defeated Mark Brack, 23-21. And Philip Chalice defeated Wayne Page, 25-19. I thought Seymour VRI's front half would prove the difference. However, the Gambie's thirds and skips made up for this aspect, with solid performances to see them across the line. Nagambie will now enter Division 3 next season, and with a few new players moving to town, will make their presence felt in this higher division. So congratulations, Nagambie. Division 3, what an upset. Seymour were unbackable and were destroyed by a pumped-up, determined Tally Gripner outfit, 100-73. Three and a half rinks to half a rink. Seymour won the qualifying final and Tally had to do it the hard way from third position. And although the only team to get close to Seymour VRI during the season, losing by six shots at home. And no, six shots at down at Seymour and then 21 at home. That was in round 3 and 14. Seymour went out in straight sets last year, so their finals record is not flash. I believe the pressure got to them as they were expected to win well, but Tally played their best game on the ultimate stage. Damien Williams won 33-16 over Biggles Brown. Tom Goodwin defeated Ian Eichfuss, 23-18. Peter Emanuele defeated Max Hammond, 24-19. And Terry Lee White drew with Graham Flint, 20-all. Prior to the grand final, Seymour had only lost nine rinks for the season in the home and away matches. So it just shows you're never a certainty in any sports, that's. Division 2, Maroopna came from the clouds to win the premiership in a thriller by two shots at Tatura. The rinks shared two each. The Cats had the wood on Shep Golf during the season, defeating him the last two times before the grand final. In last position after round 8, Maroopna, they then won their last 8 games, including the grand final, to demonstrate their superiority from then on. Brett Gunning and Bruce Robson returning to the club was a catalyst for their resurgence. Scott Donaldson defeated Robbie Betts in 26-18. Bruce Anselmi defeated Graham Myers 22-21 in a very close contest. For Shep Golf, their president, Richard Warburton, defeated Brett Gunning 26-22 and Roy Brown defeated Darren Kelly 23-20. But it wasn't enough to bridge the gap. Golf have been a yardstick in this division for a decade and now Maroopna will cap off a tremendous victory with promotion to the top echelon next season in Division 1 at Euroa's expense. It will drop down to Division 2. In Division 1, the Big Dance lived up to all its expectations. Golf conceded. I haven't seen this before in a Division 1 grand final, but they conceded with two ends to go as they're 18 shots down. The expectation between the two heavyweights of the division was well founded when they traded blows on a perfect green at Shep Park, as I said, prepared by Shane Walsh. The rink's draw was vital in this clash, as Mark Ryan for once did not draw Brad Orr, but instead Foley, who's rated the second best bowler in the comp, and relished the opportunity to perform against another opponent. However, it was Ryan's rink bowled exceptionally well, and he played like the Mark Ryan of old and put in a fantastic exhibition as a skipper in defeating. He bowled better than Brett Foley on the day. And in Brett Foley's defence for Shep Golf, his front half was decisively beaten on the day, which allowed Ryan to add rather than have to save shots. Brett Foley was down 2-12 after seven ends and down 8-14 at Smoko, eventually going down 16-28 to Mark Ryan. And as I said, Foley was constantly down on the head when he stepped up to play, and it's very difficult when you got the opposition's got so many bowls in the head. Mitch Sidebottom trailed John Stokes 0-9 and 7-12 at Smoko, and Jeff Cobbledick was outstanding as a leader for Golf, and Paul Truen was continuing his good form. However, Mitch and Mitch Sidebottom and Joey Lear fought back with some huge shots, despite Johnny Stokes and Wayne Dagger, who were performing well, really extending these two players in the second half. Sidebottom's rink scoring 14-7 after Smoko to win 21-19. So they come behind. John Stokes' rink played well early, but due to Joey Lear and Mitch Sidebottom, it was a great comeback. And that was a show rink stat, so you can watch the live stream on the Shepparton News Facebook page, the replay, and you'll see what a great game it was and the quality of presentation. Connor Truen was superb again in his clash with David Dawes. Glenn Powell led well for him, while Robbo, Matty Robertson and Guy Madigan changed the heads constantly for Telly. Connor Truen inspired his team with some clutch bowls when required, and after leading 13-9 at Smoko, lost 6-10 after that. And a fitting draw was the result in this rink contest. Brad Orr, undefeated as a skip prior to the grand final, Shep Golf's coach, met runner-up in the skip of the year. Liam Crapper, with Russell Orchard and Brett Wright dominant early, his leader in second. Orr had his problems and trailed 6-15 after 11 ends. I've never seen Brett Orr down at any stage of a grand final before, but definitely not by 9 shots. And he trailed 9-16 at Smoko. However, Orr raised his game and trailed 18-20 after 22 ends, but Ryan's rink rallied again, winning the last two ends. That's ends 23 and 24. They didn't play the 25th to win 22-18. So after the final, the commentators got together and we decided the most valuable player in the final was Jeff Cobbledick from Shep Golf, their leader in a losing side. Mitch Sidebottom polled very well, as did Mark Ryan, Connor Truen, and Liam Crapper. So, well, it's a bit hard to judge all the other rinks when you've got a show rink and your side onto the bowls. But we were privileged to see a great game of bowls. How are we going for time?
We've got about 4 minutes.
We'd better have this ad break and put Mr. What's the name on, or he won't get on at all.
We're going to get in contact with Alan Rogers, yep.
Yeah, mate.
No worries. Back shortly.
We're back. The Tungama Hotel is not just your everyday country pub. It's a Goulburn Valley institution. Established in 1891, the beautiful heritage-listed building is worth the visit alone. On the Silo Art Trail, the Tungama Hotel offers quality lunch and dinners, eat-in or take-away, as well as accommodation, including some brand-new en-suite rooms. It's family and dog-friendly, as well as offers catering for all functions, including weddings and parties. Open 7 days for lunch and dinner. Why not organise a group and grab the courtesy bus? The Tungama Hotel. More than just a country pub.
1FM sponsor.
Take a trip down memory lane when you visit Barclays Antiques and Collectibles at Emerald Bank Kyalla. You know, right next to the big windmill on the GV Highway. With a bit of something for everyone, Barclays Antiques and Collectibles truly is the Goulburn Valley's home of treasures from days gone by. Whether you're after a vintage gift, man cave item, rare collectible or unique present for someone special, you're sure to find what you're looking for, or maybe even something in between, at Barclays Antiques and Collectibles. Find them on Facebook or drop into their store at the Emerald Bank Complex, GV Highway, Shepparton. Open daily from 10 till 4:30.
1FM sponsor.
Super Saturday Sport with Mark Owens.
Welcome back to the GV Bowl Show, post-grand final edition, final show for season 2021-2022. And Brian, we've got Alan Rogers on the line, of course. He's the Murray Region Bowls president.
Yes, welcome to the program, Alan. You there, Alan?
Yep, I'm on.
Good idea. Now, just before I get you to, I think you've got a few words to say in recognition of the coverage of the final.
Yep.
But I'd like to send my condolences to Joyce Russell in Maroopna.
Yep.
Who lost her husband Ian, who was a Hall of Fame member. He was a great Maroopna club man. President,
I'll just listen in and come in when you do.
Yeah, won a heap of championships over there, and he was a very good coach, and he was a thorough gentleman on and off the green, and he's going to be sadly missed over there. He was, a tremendous club man, a life member of the club, and so we send our condolences, all the bowling community, to his wife Joyce and all his family. Fail Ian Russell. Alan, now, we had some big news too before, during the week. Jimmy Whitehead announced at a meeting you were at that the Vic Open will not be played in stage in Shepparton anymore after this year, which is a real bombshell to bowls in the region.
Yes, Brian, we had a Zoom meeting, Steve and I, with all the other regions in the state on Tuesday, and he made this announcement, and it was a bit of a shock, Brian, and... you know, all the hard work that Dave Hardy and his mates put in, they were the original people who got this event to Shepparton. And I rang Dave about it, and he was very disappointed. And he told me how the every motel from Seymour through to Strathmerton Cobram was full of bowlers when this event was on. But I think they had a little bit of trouble negotiating with the local council, and they wanted to move it to March, okay? So
yes,
they wanted to get it away from the dates at where it was, and they wanted to make it a longer event. And, yeah, they had trouble negotiating with them, but, you know, they said that the event brought in $2 million to the Shepparton area, so that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to Gippsland, I believe.
Yes, Traralgon and Morwell are the main two clubs down in Gippsland, and there'll be a 300% increase in prize money, so they sound as though they've been putting in a few dollars down there, or perhaps not that much in increase in prize money, but the Vic Bowls will be that much better off. And probably the negative part for our bowlers in our area is all the travelling through Melbourne, getting through the... you know, the city and out the other side and down there, whereas 70% of the state was open to Shepparton. And a lot of people drove down from Queensland, Brian, and, you know, they come to this event. And so Shepparton was an easy place to get to, whereas, you know, they've gone back down there. But, look, I've been down to Traralgon to state events down there, and they've got some wonderful... greens and venues down there. They've got a couple of roofs like we have in Shepparton. So, you know, I think Vic Bowles, they've signed up a 5-year agreement with that area. So it'll be all go, and they're hoping they're going to change it to autumn, though, instead of spring as it was in Shepparton.
Yeah, and as I say, it's a real blow to Bowles up here in this area, because I thought we staged as well. We had the two top facilities with East putting up their undercover green. Alan, you wanted to thank someone from the grand final broadcast.
What a great job you fellas did on there on Sunday, Ash and Tyler and you. The coverage was great, you know, and I've had a lot of comments about it, and the whole final series, we started on the Tuesday at Shep Park with all the events. First time in the GV that all the finals have been held at the one venue. And, of course, we got the great lady there, Edna Harling, to present the medallions on the day. And, you know, she did Division 1, Division 2, and she spoke to every person that she put a medallion on. She was just a delight. And, of course, Jean Sprague did the other division. She's done a great job. And how would we be without our major sponsors, GV Hearing, Brian? They do a great job for our area in Bowles, and just to have the boys there covering the game on the Sunday, it just topped up the whole final series, Brian. So congratulations to John Stokes and his match committee. They've done a great job down there, and it was all a bit doom and gloom at the start, but I think everyone's settled down, and we're moving along, and I think the final series was a real credit to everyone who had any involvement with it, Brian.
Oh, it certainly was, Alan. Congratulations to you and the board for your first year as a Goulburn Murray. Without Central being involved, I think you've done a great job in the chair and with all your fellow board members. And a special thanks, word of thanks to John Stokes. I'd like to reiterate that. Alan, when's the big clash on between Cobram and Tally Garupna, who will play off for the initial stages of the champion of state pennant?
Yes, it's on Saturday week.
Saturday week. Cobram. Where at, Alan?
At Cobram. It'll be 10:45 roll-up. So
you're giving Cobram home ground advantage?
Yes, we have.
Oh,
how
that's
about that?
No, very, very good.
All the boys played up there in the challenge. Chip Golf boys, and they said the greens were beautiful, and they'll be no different to the green they played on Sunday. That was magnificent, that.
No, I'll try and get up there for that game. It should be a fantastic clash between two top sides. Anyway, thanks very much, Alan, and catch up with you soon.
Another quick plug. We've got state events at 1U tomorrow, so anyone from Shepparton want to drive out and have a look, it'll be great.
And now we'll, thank you very much, and I'd like to thank all 1FM for allowing me to come on the program again. It's my 24th year. Not a bad effort, Stats. And thank all my guests who've given up their valuable time to come on. All our sponsors. And congratulate all the premiership winners in midweek and Saturday pennant. And congratulate all the teams up in the Murray Association as well. The Bendigo Grand Final will be televised tomorrow. If you want to watch some bowls and the Melbourne Premier League, if you get sick of one or it's one-sided, you can flick over. And now it's time for Stats to and thanks, Stats, very much for looking after me, pressing all the right buttons during the year, mate. You've done a great job. You're here every Saturday. So I think the station's owes you a big debt. And I'd like to say hello to Ray Nye now up in Murray. He'll do his show.
Yeah, he's going to do his show in a second. And
good morning,
thank
listeners, and I'll see you next season, all being well.
I want to thank you, Brian, for what you've done. Alan Rogers, we're going to get to Ray Nye really soon. I had to, unfortunately, I think Alan must have hung the phone up and the bip started. So I had to cut Al off, unfortunately, because of the bips coming through the 1FM speakers. So I hope that didn't worry the listeners too much. We'll come out the other side of the sponsors break. We are still in the bulge shower. The bulge shower? Well, how about the bulge hour? Because it was a shower of goals last night up there at the SCG for your Swans, wasn't it, Brian? As he does the big big goal sign there, the big sticks behind the goals. But we'll go to a sponsors break, come out the other side, and we'll have Ray Nye to talk all things Murray Bowls.
We're back. The Tungamah Hotel is not just your everyday country pub. It's a Goulburn Valley institution. Established in 1891, the beautiful heritage-listed building is worth the visit alone. On the Silo Art Trail, the Tungamah Hotel offers quality lunch and dinners, eat-in or take-away, as well as accommodation, including some brand-new en-suite rooms. It's family and dog-friendly, as well as offers catering for all functions, including weddings and parties. Open 7 days for lunch and dinner. Why not organise a group and grab the courtesy bus? The Tungamah Hotel, more than just a country pub.
1FM sponsor.
Take a trip down memory lane when you visit Barclays Antiques and Collectibles at Emerald Bank, Kiala. You know, right next to the big windmill on the GV Highway. With a bit of something for everyone, Barclays Antiques and Collectibles truly is the Goulburn Valley's home of treasures from days gone by. Whether you're after a vintage gift, man cave item, rare collectible or unique present for someone special, you're sure to find what you're looking for, or maybe even something in between, at Barclays Antiques and Collectibles. Find them on Facebook or drop into their store at the Emerald Bank Complex, GV Highway, Shepparton. Open daily from 10 till 4:30.
1FM sponsor.
Station sponsors McNamara Real Estate are now servicing the entire Goulburn Valley area. Our proud local family-run business is pleased to offer you a comprehensive service that comes with decades of local real estate experience between our team and is the region's best value agency, offering the area's only all-inclusive capped price commission rates. That's right, capped price commission. So if you're considering selling your home, please contact McNamara Real Estate on 5831 6405. That's 5831 6405. Or visit us at mcnamararealestate.com.au.
If you have enjoyed the show, then please let us know what you think at our socials. 1FM Super Saturday Sport on Facebook and Twitter. And tune in from 8 a.m. next week to find out more. Till next week, goodbye.